Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 12-9 loss in Seattle, but first I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, the 49ers drop another one in Seattle as they've lost 7 in a row there and now lost 8 in a row against the Seahawks. But this one was different. You know, this one, the 49ers had a chance to win because of their defense. They really couldn't get the offense going, but at least they were in the game. I don't know if there are moral victories, but, you know, if you are counting those, this would be in that category because they were right there in the fourth quarter. You know, Seahawks, their fans were booing them. They're booing their offense because they couldn't move the ball against the 49ers defense.
I know. And the 49ers defense looked good again. And I would say even better than last week, and that the front, I was going to say the front four, but it's more like 6 or 8 guys that seem to be rotating in and keeping staying fresh. And well, those guys they're getting after the quarterback. They got after Russell Wilson yesterday. That was nice to see.
It was. They were on the field so much, though. I mean, cool. You know, nearly the entire first quarter and 37 minutes.
But it was 79 plays to. Like 79 to 49 or something?
Yeah, 79 to 48 is what I have here. Yeah.
48. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think we talked a little bit about that last week, that the Niners need to, get the running game going, which they actually did have the running game going. They can't maintain a drive because they're not making first downs, which would help to keep the defense off the field.
Right, they only had 11 first downs. They were 2 of 12 on third down conversions. No problem with the running game. I mean, Carlos Hyde was great. 124 yards.
Yeah, running game looked good. We just got to maintain some drives and convert on third down. I think, just the opposite. Seattle was like 9 or 10 for 20 on third and fourth down. I think they were 1 for 1, I looked, on fourth down. So put that in there. I mean, keeping the chains moving, again, almost 50%.
Well, there was a play in the first quarter. And of course, if you don't get off to a good start, it's always going to be a tough day. And I looked at, the first 20 minutes of the game, the 49ers had 8 plays, 17 yards, and 357 of time of possession. So right there, you knew it was going to be tough. But there was a play early on I thought of you, Steve, because it was in the first quarter. It was 3rd and 1. They did not convert. They gave it to Hyde. But the shotgun, I mean, they weren't under center. I don't understand that.
Yeah, with no fullback in the backfield.
Right, and even a quarterback sneak could work there. I saw that in a high school game as well. It's just kind of modern football right now where nobody wants to get under center. Why is that?
Yeah. I do remember that one. That's a good question. I mean, especially – I don't know what Kyle's thinking was there, but they have a fullback. They seem to obviously they seem to be running the ball pretty well. But and I'm trying to remember if somebody up front got beat, and I think they did, and I don't remember who, but I think one of those defensive linemen from Seattle made a nice move and, was right there on top of Hyde pretty much after he was handed the ball. But those are spots where I guess back to your point where you have to make that first down. It's 3rd and 1. We got to make that first down and keep these chains moving.
What do you think about the short passing game? That can be effective. I mean, you were involved in offenses that were very successful with the short passing game. But you, every once in a while, don't you have to keep them honest with a longer pass? And it seems like, you know, the Niners are really not doing that very often.
They're not. And that's, I think we talked about it last week, and that's where I thought that they could take that, those shots off of, you know, off of the play action game. If they got the running game going, which they did, but they don't seem to be taking that shot that we saw them take, shot or two that we saw them take in the preseason game against Minnesota.
Yeah,
you know where you're fully, you know, we used to call it play action. We would call some play action, you know, play pass. We called them, or we called them play pass was you know, pass protection by the offensive line, but run action by the backs and the quarterback. And then fakes were full out run sell by the offensive line, by the running back, by the quarterback, full out sell. And then, you know, it was usually only a two-man route, but it was something for a deep ball. And then if you didn't have that, then it was, you know, kind of a touchdown, check down type thing.
Is it harder to sell the way it is now with a shotgun? I mean, you know, instead of being under center?
It is. It's harder to sell those types of plays in the shotgun, no question. It's those are better from under center because you get momentum from the quarterback and you know, a quarterback looking like he's, you know, reaching for that back who's, you know, selling the big off tackle play.
Right.
Or an outside bounce type play. So yes, they are harder to sell, I would say, out of the shotgun.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. There's a couple of things that are confusing so far with Kyle Shanahan. I mean, on the one hand, you know, I think he got some compliments, you know, especially from the Seahawks. And Richard Sherman said something about how, you know, they have different looks and it's confusing if you're trying to defend it. But on the other hand, you know, they passed the ball 29 times and they rushed it 19. So they're having all this success rushing the ball, but they're not going to rush as much as they really, you know, could, and they're not using they're not using the fullback at all. I mean, I thought they got Kyle Juszczyk to use him for some of those passes, you know, those little ones out of the backfield. He didn't have anything. He had no receptions, and he doesn't run the ball either.
Yeah, he didn't. And I would say that they were mostly in one back yesterday. I can't remember a handful of times that he was in there. The fullback Juszczyk. I mean,
yeah, they're just not utilizing
him. Most of the time it was one back sets.
Yeah.
I mean, and that must, you know, obviously that was the game plan to try and spread Seattle out. You know, keep that seventh, eighth guy and Cam Chancellor out, you know, out of the box type, sets that, you know, where he's got to go out and cover a tight end or at least line up outside the box. I mean, that definitely seemed to be their game plan. But some of those third downs, again, to something we talked a lot about last year with the smaller receivers, just getting manhandled by Seattle's corners or anyone's corners for that matter. Just not being big statured guys. Mm-hmm. You know, they try and throw that trying to throw that kind of fade stop, you know, back what everybody calls back shoulder throw now, and they just seem to get manhandled. I can remember seeing a few times yesterday.
Well, at some point you're going to have to score a touchdown if you're going to win a game. They haven't scored a touchdown this year, and your quarterback has to play better. I mean, Brian Hoyer, he did not have a good game. That interception was really rough because, I don't know, he just didn't see Bobby Wagner. I mean, I guess that happens.
Well,
what happened there? You saw it, and you know what that feels like.
He kind of stared it down a little bit, I have to admit. Because on the replay during the game, they showed from behind Boyer, and you can see him look left, and he starts out doing good, it seems like, looking left, and then he comes back to the middle, but then he stands there and stares at it, waiting for him to come in, and he just pulled the linebacker back over to it. You know, he ended up staring it down. I think he would admit that if you asked him.
So that's a bigger, maybe an even bigger problem than just throwing the ball. It's just staring him down because he's going to be in position, right?
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, they're getting pressure on him at certain times where, like, there was one there at the end where they needed a first down after Seattle scored, and he throws they kind of run that little pick where they run the wheel and then they run the slant underneath of it. And it was one of the tight ends that ran the slant and the back. I think it was Carlos that runs the wheel. He comes out of the backfield in motion and he runs the wheel and it clear throws underneath. But I remember after seeing it thinking, oh shoot, if he took a split second more, he might have had Carlos down the sideline because the guy covering the corner, I think it is, it starts to widen with the motion. He doesn't get Carlos outflanks him, and I don't know, maybe it's just, you know, on replay thinking, if he had a split second more, he might be able to get that. And I know we talked about this last week and I said it was Carolina's defense that, you know, it's making them throw out of rhythm a little bit. Happened again yesterday, it seemed like, where that ball seems to be coming out just I don't know if it's a smidge early or what I just talked about, or if the receivers are getting manhandled and they just can't separate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's several balls again. Those balls to the outside where it's not an out route, but it's kind of a fade stop or a back shoulder throw where you need a big body to be able to lean on that corner and then separate kind of back down the stem and toward the sideline. So they're not getting. They're still a little out of sync, it seems like, a little out of rhythm.
They are. I mean, and you look at Goodwin, he had another drop, an easy first down, he dropped it. I mean, he's got a lot of speed, but, you know, he's not helping his quarterback by dropping passes like that. You got to be able to count on your receivers.
Yeah, and those are the plays that teams that aren't winning are not making. We've talked about this a lot. I think there's, I don't remember this one other tip later in the game. Yeah, it would have been a tough interception, but it came off a tip. It hit one of the DBs, you know, right in the hands. But in order to win games, I get that it's a tough play, but those are the plays that you have to make to win a game.
Well, I agree. And I also think that, I mean, some of these teams, like I'll give you an example in covering the Dolphins-Chargers game on Sunday and watching Jay Cutler. Now, he's had his issues in his career, but now he's got these receivers that were making plays for him. He's throwing balls up that are sort of 50-50 balls, and receivers were making plays, and that's why the Dolphins won. So you can't blame it all on the quarterback. I don't think Hoyer was good. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, you can't blame it all on him.
You cannot. I mean, it takes 11 guys every play. you know, hence the reason it's the greatest team sport in the world.
Exactly.
You can't make a mistake. Not one guy can make a mistake on every play. You'll never win. So yes, it's back to that point of the receivers. They're not making, great catches or getting completely open. They are sometimes, and Brian's not hitting them, or Brian's looks like he's a smidge early, but maybe he's really not. We're not getting the separation at the top end of the route.
Let's get back to talking about Hyde, because I mean, this is a great game for him. He had that run, that 61 yarder career high, which kind of looked like Gore a little bit, like Frank Gore, where he just breaks into the open. And they haven't had a lot of that from him. I don't know if it's the offensive line or what was better. What did you see in Carlos Hyde that was so much better?
Well, I think, honestly, I'm going to go and say that it was offensive line, because the number 22, Breida.
Oh, Breida. Breida, yeah.
Breida.
Yeah, he also had 8.8 per carry.
He had a couple nice runs, too. And they, on the telecast, they showed, they showed the play from behind. So you get to see how well the offensive line is blocking. And so I'm gonna credit to them that I thought they played better for sure against a good Seattle defense, at least run blocking. And and Carlos, he slimmed down. He just looks faster, and he made some nice runs. I mean, obviously the 61 yarder is very nice. There was another one, I think in the drive of the go-ahead field goal.
Yeah.
He might be like maybe 15, 20 yards, but he makes a nice cut back and then gets up the field. I think it was him. He's obviously seeing the field well, but again, I think the offensive line played better.
Well, you also have to get past, I think, trying to run everybody over. I think maybe that's what he was trying to do his rookie year. And he can do it. He's strong.
Well, he was a bigger guy.
Yeah.
He was a thicker guy. Now he looks good. I mean, slimmed down, but he looks good.
Yeah. What about as far as just the end of the game, too? Because you're trying to win the game here, even though you've had barely any offense. And then the defense just got tired. I mean, they played a really good game, but they were on the field so long. I think Russell Wilson recognized that. You think so? Because at the end there, he was trying to run for some yardage, and, he was scrambling around. I just think the defense looked pretty tired.
I'm sure they were, but Russell Wilson just took over that game at the end. I mean, period. I mean, he scrambles. He scrambles and runs two times that I can remember, maybe three, and then that last play for the throw for the touchdown. I mean, that's just a tremendous play. He's running for his life in the middle of the pocket, and finally finds that, steps up and then goes to his left, and I think it's Buckner.
Yeah, I think he got away from DeForest
Buckner. I think it was Buckner that has his foot right at the end. But, what a throw.
To Paul Richardson,
You're losing your right foot on a throw that you're running to your left. that's just a great play.
And when they needed to, they got those first downs. I mean, they reeled off three first downs there to finish off the game, and then that was it. I mean, the 49ers aren't going to be able to do it.
And defense, and then – if I remember correctly, during the telecast, they were commenting that this defense is tired, hands are on the hips, and 80 plays, 75 plays later, those even though they're platooning those front four guys, and I think they played really well, they're tired. I mean, That's a lot of running around all day chasing Russell Wilson.
No doubt. What about Navarro Bowman? Because he had a game-high 10 tackles. Seems like he's all over the field. He's healthy now. And I think some people sort of discounted him a little bit. There was so much talk about Reuben Foster getting drafted and how great he's going to be. But Bowman, he's still the man, or one of the best players on that defense, isn't he?
No question. I mean, he's still a very good player. hopefully stays healthy the whole year and is in that middle, because they can obviously they can definitely use Reuben Foster when he gets back, whenever that is, a couple weeks, and it would, you know, it's going to help keep that linebacker group healthier, where they can hopefully rotate in, because I think Ray Armstrong, yeah, he's not the size of a Reuben Foster, but I think that there's I think he's played pretty well. Just from what you can see on television, but I think he adds an element to that group, with that speed and almost a strong safety like player, with his size.
He has a lot of energy, doesn't he?
He's got a ton of energy, and I think that there's a good role for him on that defense. I don't know if he, with his size, yeah, he's not going to be able to take on linemen all the time, but whereas I think Reuben can, but Reuben can also run very well. But I guess my point is that I think that Ray Ray's played pretty well, and I like his energy and the way that he is, chasing after the ball.
So going forward, and it looks like this defense is going to be a lot better than last year, which is not hard to do. That defense was awful. But I mean, is it kind of like in baseball where if you get good starting pitching, you're going to stay in games and you can win games? Do you look at that way, or how do you look at it? Yeah.
No question. I mean, let's face it. As much as my wife hates to hear me say, defense wins football games. offense sells tickets. But I mean, when you don't have a high-powered offense, you have to have a good defense. And yesterday's game was a complete example of a good defense kept them in the ball game. And if they could have maintained, a drive after the field goal that made it 9-6, they might have been able to run some. They might have been able to run 4 or 5 minutes off that clock and put more pressure on Seattle's off. Even if they don't get points out of it offensively, if they could, if they could have maintained and had 3 or 4 first downs and had an 8 or 10 play drive where they burned off 4 or 5 minutes, I mean, now it's a different ball game. Okay. You don't get any points out of it. You punt it away, and maybe you pin, Seattle down inside the 20, and now there's only 3 minutes on the clock, let's say, and they've got to go 80 yards. So plus you've given your defense a little bit more breathing, time to rest there at the end of the game. So I think yesterday's game was a great example of a good defense and an offense that's I think still finding their way.
Yeah.
Finding their identity.
And if they can do that, they're going to be in some games. They have a short turnaround now on Thursday night. They play the Rams. Ooh. At home,
it's not easy.
Don't have much time to think about it. And the Rams,
Sunday to Thursday is not easy.
And the way this division is shaping up in the NFC West, nobody is really looking like a great team. Seattle so far, that's 2 games in a row where their offense didn't look good. They've actually been outscored this year, even though they're 1-1. The Rams, first game was great. Then they lose to the Redskins. Arizona, they barely won at the end there against the Colts. So nobody's looking really that good. And this is the time where the Niners are playing 3 in a row against the division. They got the Rams Thursday and then Arizona next week.
Right. This week is hopefully, it's going to be all mental, whatever they're changing in the game plans, my guess on defense isn't much because their whole philosophy seems to be, okay, these are the, you know, these are the four or five things we're going to do, and we're just going to keep changing them up. But, you know, we're young, and we're going to just, you know, read and react to the ball. So for the defense, it's going to be getting fresh as quickly as possible after playing 79 plays yesterday.
It's going to be tough. Sure, yeah.
Film study today, because there won't be a day off this week. So film study today and tomorrow and Wednesday, and there's probably not a whole lot of practicing going on, you know, physically.
And Eric Reed is going for an MRI on his knee. I mean, I don't know that he's going to be able to play. That would be a big loss because he's a big part of the defense.
He sure is. Yeah, he sure is. And I thought those, especially in the beginning of the game yesterday, those safeties, man, they were bringing the wood.
Yeah, they had some hard hits.
Early on, it was nice to see those guys coming downhill and hitting people.
Yeah, that's definitely going to help because you don't feel comfortable going over the middle.
Yeah, defensively, I think they're playing well. Offensively, I would say right now they need to run the ball some more. You know, try and get closer to 50-50 run pass just to try and keep the defense off the field.
I agree with that. And what about Goff? What do you think about him going into the game? It'll be interesting to see what you think of him after the game, but just what you've seen of him.
I didn't see what he – I mean, I know they lost yesterday. I don't remember seeing his stats. I don't
I've got it here. Let's see. He was 15 of 25, 224, and he threw an interception.
I mean, 15 of 25, I mean, that's not bad. That's, you know.
Actually, one interception.
But, it'll be fun to watch him. Obviously we've all read all kinds of things about him, you know, being from the Bay Area and playing at Cal and being the first pick, but it seems like McVay's doing a good job with him, and obviously have a good running back, and he seems like he's got some pretty good young receivers, you know, some speed guys. So, we'll see. I mean, I'm gonna bet on the Niners defense right now because I thought that front four got after Russell Wilson pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, and then you got a more inexperienced quarterback in Goff. So
exactly, who's not going to move around like Russell Wilson?
Maybe the Niners get their first win. We'll see.
Well, I hope so.
Look forward to talking about it next week, Steve. Thanks so much, and enjoy that game on Thursday.
Sounds good.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next week to talk about the 49ers game at Levi Stadium on Thursday night against the Rams. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.